We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Wanstead, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Haw every Tuesday.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dave Wanstead.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. We love talking to the coach, and we're delighted to welcome Dave Wanstead to the Home Run In Hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. Dave, good morning. How are you?
I am doing good, fellas. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Loud and clear, Dave.
All right. Good.
So we got the start of training camp, Dave. Always a joy. Always fun to talk to you. But this is officially the start of football season, the Bears gathering. And they got a new player. They went out and got themselves a tight end in a move that you like.
I love it, really, to be honest with you, because I think – and forget about the player. I mean, I know Jesse James is a good player. I followed him when he was at Penn State and on the Steelers. But I think the most important thing about this move is they did not sign another wide receiver, right? I mean, they signed a tight end who was a blocking tight end. I think there's a deep meaning to this addition to the team. From the standpoint that I've always been a believer, and I know I go a little bit overboard with it, that, you know, when they ran the ball and they committed to the run and they let that defense play and special teams, that they won the majority of the games. They truly did. When they had that mentality and that philosophy. And they would just waver back and forth. We all know the story. Well, you know, my feeling with Justin Fields coming along was that the best chance the Bears have to be a really good team this year is to run the ball, keep it somewhat simple for Fields, as simple as you can, as he grows, use that great defense and on and on. Well, when you sign a player like this, you know, this is a commitment to the running game. And I think that Bears fans ought to look at this as a real positive, that a real commitment from the organization to saying, you know what, you know, this is now you got, everyone's going to say, what are you going to do with Cole Kmet? Well, Kmet last year, they moved him around a little bit. He can move back and forth. I think he's a little better athlete. Not that Jesse James can't do it, but Komet's probably a little better athlete, maybe a little better receiver, so they can do a few special things with him now. So I think it's just a real positive from a philosophy and a mentality going into training camp.
Dave, I love your enthusiasm, and I value and respect the running game. And I think that identifying a third tight end as a blocking guy does, in fact, maybe tilt toward a commitment and indicate a commitment to the running game that we haven't seen as much. But I do think it's still the same coaching staff, right? I mean, I hesitate. I'm a little bit more cautious than you maybe in getting – too carried away or enthusiastic that the Bears are actually going to do something that they haven't done since Matt Nagy arrived, and that is to emphasize the running game.
Well, I think, you know, I don't want to say desperate times you do desperate things, but I think that last year they sat back and evaluated, you know, what did we do good, obviously, what did we do bad? I mean, that stretch at the end of the year when they were running the ball with Montgomery and with Mitch in there, I mean, they won, what, six games in a row or whatever it was, and I think that their defense picked up and played better at the end. So, you know, I would like to think, you know, Matt Nagy's a very smart guy and Ryan Pace, that they sat down and said, hey, what's going to give our team the best chance and what's going to give Justin Fields the best chance? I mean, hey, look what happened in Cleveland last year. If Bears fans wanted a good example, they open up the season, they're throwing it with Baker Mayfield and their defense is blitzing. And after 1 week, Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, said, hey, guys, you know what? The best chance we got to winning, we got two great running backs. I want to keep it simpler on defense. And this will help Baker Mayfield. And it all played out exactly that way. It was a great coaching move, I think, and philosophy move. Let's just hope that Matt Nagy, I think that these guys are going to start from day one with that mentality.
Not to oversimplify it, Dave, but when you sign a 6'7", 255-pound blocking tight end, doesn't that indicate that maybe you're a little worried about your left tackle and you have a group of guys without a start at left tackle? Couldn't it just be protection for that position?
I hope so. I mean, that was one of my complaints last year that right. Mitch, you know, or Foles, the quarterback, was getting hit in the mouth and had no time, and we were screaming at the offensive line, but yet the tight ends were all out for passes. The fullback, you know, fight player, whatever they call him, the H-back, he was going out for a pass, and nobody was staying in to help. And I've said it on the show with you guys. I'd have sent three receivers out if that's what it takes. We did it with Troy Aikman. So, you know, you do what you got to do to give your quarterback a chance to have time and be successful. So, Molly, your point, David, your points, with this guy being more of a blocker might help the line. I think it's great. I think that's smart, and that's their thinking.
Dave, so it's the opening of training camp, and whether the Bears say this publicly or not, privately when they meet, are they looking at what happens in Green Bay? Are they looking at Aaron Rodgers coming to the Packers and reportedly reporting to camp? And does that change their approach with Justin Fields? If you're a coach, if you're a coordinator, if you're a position coach, does what goes on in Green Bay change your mindset or affect it in Chicago?
No, not at all. I mean, they're following it just like we're all following it. Obviously, it's the story of the off season in the NFL. But no, it doesn't affect them at all. I mean, you know, I've never worried about an opponent, to be quite honest with you, until Monday before that week. Who's healthy? Who's not? You know, who's playing with some momentum, positive? Who's not? Where's the game? You know, on and on. So I never really – you can't get ahead of yourself with that kind of stuff until game week, really.
When you look at the NFC, obviously Tampa's got everybody back. They managed to swing it. They brought the whole team back, and they're planning on trying to do it again. Who is the threat to them in the NFC? Is it the Packers? Is anyone going to have a winning season in the NFC East?
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I like the Cowboys. I really like the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think it's going to take much. I know Dan Quinn's philosophy. He's back to where it was when we really got that 4-3 going. And, you know, they kept that thing going. Different adjustments, every coach, that's all I'm saying. But the 4-3 mentality has been there since Jimmy and myself, and we went down there and we installed it. And last year they went to the 3-4. The players didn't fit. They didn't have time. Now they're back to the old 4-3. I think they're going to simplify it. I think their defense will be better than people think. I look for Zeke Elliott now to say, you know what? I had a down year. I got to get back in this thing again. They got three offensive linemen, two of them all pros, I believe, that were hurt last year. They're all back. So I think the Cowboys are going to be a team to be reckoned with as time goes on. I really do.
All right, Dave, so it's practice at Halas Hall, and you see the veterans report, and Eddie Goldman, let's assume he is back, as reports indicate he will be. He skipped the mandatory minicamp. He opted out for personal reasons last year in 2020. Are you watching him any closer if you're a coach of his? Are you wanting to see something? What are you looking for when you're watching Eddie Goldman?
No, last year, if I'm the head coach, I accept that. You know, everybody looked at that differently, obviously. We don't know what his experiences were with his family and so forth. So I can accept that. A little bit of this stuff in the off season, I don't know enough of the details. But, you know, you better come in and have your chin strap buckled, and you better be strapping it on going from drill one to from day one. I mean, you know, if I see I'm watching his mindset. I'm not worried about his physical ability or his playmaking ability. He's going to be fine there. I want to make sure this guy is just all in, you know? I mean, I'll be very simple. It's time to go. Let's strap it on, put the mouthpiece in, let's go to work.
Dave, when you watch this team and you get to a training camp, we've seen this kind of difference in the NFL where everybody's trying to preserve their team. They're not really hitting the same way. There's all sorts of different philosophies on this. But can you prepare for a season if you're not getting prepared for the season, if you're only using exhibition games?
You can. The way I would approach it if I was the head coach, they give you so many days when you can be in pads and you can be hitting. I would use every one of those days to the maximum. You know, you don't become a running team week three, guys. You don't become a physical football team the second half of the season. It's too late then. I've always believed in you're going to be overly aggressive, be overly tough early, and you can always back away. You can't go the other direction. So to answer your question, whatever days, I'm not sure. I don't have it in front of me now. I'm driving you. Whatever days that they can hit and how many days they can be in full pads, I think you got to really take advantage of that, guys.
Well, drive safely, Dave. You know, we want you to be careful there. Listen, so with
the guy next to me is like shaking his head. He must be listening. So there we go.
So
I'm collecting fans as I'm throwing my arms in the air.
Justin Fields, according to Matt Nagy, you'll know it when you see it. And I think players will be the first to know, and players will be the first to understand what's going on here. How long does that take, Dave, in your experience, when you have a special player or a player that you suspect might be special, like Justin Fields? When will players, teammates, start to get that sense that, okay, this is somebody who is unique?
As long as the guy in front of him's playing good, you're okay. God bless Andy Dalton, and I hope he has a great year. You know, I mean, being a Bears fan, I really do. But, you know, the minute that he struggles or the minute that things go bad, regardless of whose fault it is, it could be a terrible play call from the coach, or it could be a complete miss by an offensive lineman. He's going to get blamed for everything. I mean, that's just the way it works. And the minute that this football team thinks that he's not given the best chance, everyone's going to know it. And that'll be the time, I think, that he plays. I wouldn't be surprised if week one that they have a little package for him. That would not surprise me one bit. But I think he's going to take the reins and go as the starter whenever Andy Dalton struggles, whenever that is.
When you see the Bears trade Anthony Miller, I mean, it was kind of expected. They were trying to do it for a long time. What does it say about where they're at as a team and what they're trying to get done?
Well, I think it's another positive. You sign Anthony Miller because of whatever reasons, which I think was a good trade, good move. And then you sign a blocker that's going to help the toughness of your team and everything. I mean, it's a positive. I think they really get the big picture. I really do, and I'm encouraged. And I know first day of training camp, I know, excuse me, every team's going to the Super Bowl and blah, 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 but I think there's legit reasons for enthusiasm with this Bears team. I really do.
But, Dave, do you have legit reasons to think that this wide receiving core is better than it was a year ago?
Oh, I think Mooney will be better with a year's experience. You know, Robinson's playing for a big contract. That's the best motivator he can get. You know, they've got a good young group. I do think they'll be better. I think Komet's going to be better by far another year into this thing. I think they got plenty of weapons. You know, there's only one football. There's only one football to go around, guys.
And let's hope Justin Fields is the guy with it at some point, well, Dave.
Well, he will be.
Great stuff, Dave. Great catching up with you. Really appreciate it.
Thanks,
Have a
Dave.
Great day.
Yep.
All right, guys, be safe.
That is Dave Wannstedt. Always a joy to talk to Dave. The U.S. women floor gymnastics won, or team gymnastics won a silver medal. They were stopped for the gold. The Russian Olympic Committee ended up winning the gold. That ends like 3 or 4 years the U.S. had won gold in that competition. But Simone Biles was out, and the U.S. ended up getting a silver.
Tough day. Big news for Olympian fans, or gymnastics fans. Yes.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That's David Ross. He's telling you how Andrew Chafin found out he's no longer a Cub. He's now headed to the Oakland A's, and the Athletics sent a pair of minor leaguers, Greg Deutschman, and he's the outfielder, and Daniel Palencia, a right-handed pitcher, for Chafin, who's you know, pretty good setup, man, in 43 appearances this year. And unfortunately, now a left-handed reliever for the Oakland A's.
He's been a revelation this year. He's been the guy that at the beginning of the season, when we were talking about the Cubs' bullpen being their strength, this was one of the biggest reasons why. And not only that, because the performance on the mound was one thing, but the character off of it, I think teammates gravitated toward him. He was a very popular guy in the clubhouse with the fan base. He wore those funny T-shirts. You know, Adbert Alzolay tweets out, great baseball player, but even better as a person. Good luck down the road, mi amigo. This is one of those guys you like to have in that atmosphere. So he's traded for prospects. When you get a 26-year-old AAA outfielder, I don't know that you feel like there's a ton of hope invested in a 26-year-old minor league outfielder, but that's who Greg Dykeman is. And I think when you look at his ranking, number 9 prospect in the A system, I don't know what that means. I don't know what their first 8 are like, but this seems like it's a minor deal, just like the Jock Peterson deal brought back a Class A power hitting first baseman in Bryce Ball. Just the beginning, because I think the next, you know, this is kind of whetting our appetite. This is the trailer. The movie will be more compelling and dramatic and emotional, I think, when you see the next moves that are to come.
Do you expect the Cubs to be eating contract money in order to get better prospects?
Well, it's a good question, because I think when you saw what happened with the Pirates, who were motivated to unload, they're sellers, clearly sellers, and they threw in $1.4 million to the Padres with Adam Frazier. And you might think, well, why is that? Well, they clearly were motivated to make a deal for prospects and to unload Adam Frazier. So if you're the Cubs on a larger scale, absolutely you have to be willing to take on some salary to get a deal if you're motivated to make that deal. If you get the prospect match in return that you're looking for, and I think you have to be more particular with guys like Craig Kimbrell and Bryant specifically, because I think you've got multiple teams that are said to be interested, so you can be a little bit more selective. And that may be a case where you would be willing to, hey, it's only money, and it's not your money. So I think, yeah, you would be more likely to see the Cubs kick in a little bit of money there.
It's never easy to see these kinds of moves, to see these kinds of trades go on, but this is nothing compared to how awful it would be if you saw when you see guys that are leaving the team that you feel differently about. So as bad as it is to see this happen, I don't think it's nearly as bad as things may wind up being. You know, I just think it's just going to be a really ugly type of event here if indeed some of the core pieces are gone.
Well, everything's relative, and nobody is dying here this week. You know, this is not – everything is relative to sports. But in the sports context, in the baseball fandom continuum, this is going to be a traumatic event if the Cubs trade either Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, or Anthony Rizzo. And if they trade all three of them, then I think that if you know a Cub fan, you might want to do a wellness check. If you live next door to one, you might want to just see how they're doing, because that could be a tremendous shock to their system. And I'm not sure how they would respond, because ultimately you're talking about three guys at the core of all the success that they had during what is referred to as a golden age of baseball and golden age of Cubs baseball. So all three of them at the same time, that would be a lot to absorb. Even though I think if Jed Hoyer had his way, you know, maybe that's what this is headed toward. A complete sale where, you know, nothing is left and everything is off the rack and, you know, everything must go.
It's kind of amusing when you consider what happened last night with Javi's literal walk-off. I mean, walking down to first base and his kind of the reaction of everybody jumping up and down on him. Now, maybe they were doing that as a way of preventing him from attacking Amir Garrett or Garrett attacking him. It might have been one of these things where everybody ran out just to be on the field and to be around him, because it looked like a confrontation was brewing, was going to happen, and it was just one of those kind of rare moments. But it's tough to think that that's where you're at with this team, that jumping up and down could be the end of something.
Well, I wouldn't play Javi today, and I would protect him from his sore heel, and I would protect him from the Reds pitchers, because the target on his back just got bigger during his strut off double into the outfield, because that was as flamboyant as Javi Baez as we have ever seen him, talking trash directly to the pitcher he just got the game-winning hit off of. They have history. But last night was another chapter to that. And so, yeah, if I'm David Ross, I might be protecting my player. And if I'm Jed Hoyer, I don't want anything to happen to either Javi Baez, Chris Bryant, or Anthony Rizzo in the next 3 days. So I might even consider shutting all of them down.
312-644-6767. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen after that. But row, row, row your boat. I mean, he was using his bat as an oar at one point as he walked down the field. Let's get to the phone lines. Remember, the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
And the BetQL network's available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website. Over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices and BetQLnetwork.com.
Jack's on the road. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, good morning. You know, I'm a little tired about hearing all this sadness talk about, well, these guys are going to go. They sealed their own fate, didn't they? And not just like last month or when they lost 11 in a row, but that same movie kept playing over and over and over again for 3 or 4 years. No offense. They didn't hit. I'm sorry. So, you know, hey, guys, thanks a lot for the World Series. Really, I've been a Cub fan a long time. But I want to see some young, energetic talent that, you know, look what happens when Horner comes back. Geez, we're winning. You know, he hits the ball. That other guy, Ortega, center fielder. It was so refreshing to watch a guy actually hit a baseball instead of strike out. Thanks. Got it.
Yeah. I get where he's coming from. There's a lot of fatigue over the way the Cubs have struggled and a lot of fatigue over hearing about the offense being broken. But I don't know that anybody's going to pick the Cubs to win in the next 3 to 5 year window. And the next Cub great Cub team is going to include either Ortega or Matt Duffy, guys who are contact hitters who they like having in the lineup. Maybe Nico Horner. I think he's one of these guys that you could imagine, envision being a component on a championship team. But I don't know that that list is a very long one of current Cub players.
It's funny. I saw that MLB had their new top 100 prospects. And there were three Cubs on it based on, obviously, the post-draft type thing. Ed Howard was on it. Who's the kid that was the star of the...
Brennan Davis.
Brennan Davis, of course.
Yeah.
And I believe there was also a pitcher. And then they had a couple other guys in
Marquez?
Marquez,
maybe?
Yes. And I think they had a couple of other guys, the catcher and Amaya.
Miguel Amaya.
And another guy. That's from the top 150. So there are guys that could kind of make a step up at some point. But, I mean, look, this is rough stuff. This is contracts that are expiring. This is going back to the well for one last trip to get water. And unfortunately, they didn't carry their water. So they have a lot of pieces that can help a lot of teams in the playoffs. But collectively, they couldn't get there.
Frankly, the shame of it is not in its dismantling. I think there's just that's going to be difficult for some people to accept anytime. But the real shame of it is it's being dismantled after only one championship. That will be the lasting regret about this era, that in the championship window as it closes, is that when you look back, there is only that one World Series title, and it wasn't more than that, given the potential this core right. exhibited in 2015 and 2016.
Given how young they were and what you expected from them. Jim is on I-94. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Why do you think X on Cubs fans if they trade this core? I am going to be thrilled if they trade.
You're cutting out.
I win a World Series in 2016.
Okay.
And they've had a bunch of flameouts in the playoffs ever since. And they're not coming to you now and saying, well, I'll sign a new deal for $15 million. No, they're going to want big bucks, all of them. And they don't deserve it. And they've had their chance here. And my goal for the Cubs is to be Tampa Bay with money. That's what I want. Okay. And the only way we're going to get there is if we don't trade them. Or is if we trade them. That's my thought.
Thanks for the phone call. Tampa Bay with money. So I guess that he is referring to their ability to draft and develop wisely, to be consistent year in and year out, and to make people around baseball wonder every August or September, how in the world are they doing this? You know, but the thing is that they don't have to be Tampa Bay. They don't have to be that frugal. They have money, and they have money that they just haven't spent wisely necessarily, and they started a salary dump last December.
Right. I mean, look, I would say, Jim, careful what you wish for, because I would also think that if you hadn't dumped Kyle Schwarber, if you, Darvish, were on this team, you'd be having a different season. Okay. So a lot of what we've seen from this group began in the offseason, frankly. And now you're talking about a trade-off of the remaining pieces, and careful what you wish for. You know, it's real easy to say, oh, I've had it with these guys and the next group's going to win and these guys let me down. The expectations for this team increased about tenfold when they won a World Series. And I get it. People are disappointed they didn't win another one. People are disappointed they didn't get to another World Series. But they had some really good years. And when you go through good times, you really enjoy it. But, man, have you forgotten what it's like when you're trying to rebuild a team and you're not spending top dollar to do it? You might now. Think it through a little.
It may never get better than the last 5 years were for the Cub fans. It may never get better than that. So you can celebrate the dismantling and you can say good riddance to whichever Cub core player that you choose to, because you're tired and you're fed up and you can't take it anymore. But I do think that you look back and you're going to want Jed Hoyer to be able to draft, develop, and win with the player in the way that they just did with Chris Bryant. And you're going to want a guy that is as flamboyant and magical as Javi Baez and his fan favorite as Anthony Rizzo. These are guys that you're trying to duplicate when you go out now. So I don't know that you would celebrate their exit as much as you might lament the fact that they didn't win more often.
Paul's in Valpo. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys. Different point of view here. I mean, David, earlier you kind of were, I guess, not happy with the trade. I mean, Andrew Chafin had a really good year. He's a left-handed reliever. They get a 26-year-old outfielder who looks like he's having a good, really good year in AAA. One of the Cubs' scouting directors came from the A's. I'm assuming he knows him. A's always have good prospects. And on the flip side, you complained about Yu Darvish and you said that they got a bunch of lottery tickets, a bunch of guys that are in Little League and they couldn't even drive. They're not old enough to drive. And one of those guys could be Fernando Tatis. We don't know. But now they got a 26-year-old guy who's pretty much major league ready. Yeah, is he going to be a superstar? I doubt it, but he's going to be a major league player on the roster probably at the end of this year. What are you looking for? Do you just want 21-year-old prospects that are studs, that are top prospects for Andrew Chafin?
I don't think I complain about Paul. The trade, Paul. Paul likes to pick on me, thinks I'm anti-Cub. I get it. That wasn't – with Andrew Chafin is a reliever that surprised you this year. You're not going to get a lot for him in return. What the Cubs got is fine. I mean, he may end up being a major league ready outfielder. My point about him being a 26-year-old minor leaguer, when you trade for 26-year-old minor leaguers, what do you typically get? I mean, he's not exactly a guy on the rise. So that, fair enough. You're not making or breaking your trade deadline success or failure based on what you did with Andrew Chafin as an asset.
All right, a lot of people want to check in. We'll pick it up tomorrow. We've got Mike Florio joining us next. Mully and Haw on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. Mike Florio. ProFootballTalk.com. NBC Sports. Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day. Day by day. We get better and better.
We get better and better.
We're getting big.
NFL Insider Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio. And as you just heard in the introduction, he wears so many hats. And now the latest, he is an author. The name of the book, Playmakers, How the NFL Really Works and Doesn't. And you can pre-order it now on Amazon. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys today? Thank you very much for that mention.
Oh, I can't wait to read it, honestly. I want to know how the NFL works. I'm still trying to figure it out. It seems like maybe, Mike, it's starting to work like the NBA. If you look at Aaron Rodgers, the minority owner, champion, NBA champion minority owner, he returns to Green Bay, and I guess all is forgiven, but he needs control, and they're going to give him more control than he's had, perhaps.
Well, this is amazing to me because when you broaden the lens on this, which I'm in the process of doing, Rodgers didn't get anything other than the 2023 season of his contract wiped out. There's no commitment to trade him or release him after 2021. He agreed to a restructuring that creates more cap space. That's something the Packers could have done back in March if they wanted to automatically under the terms of his contract. So that's no big deal. He's getting the money he would get anyway. It's just structured differently. He really didn't get anything other than whatever this wink nod promise is to be different, to maybe go after a trade for Randall Cobb. Although, in all due respect to Randall Cobb, but it's not 2015 anymore. So I just think that it's a Band-Aid. And it's a Band-Aid that may, you know, when you get one of those Band-Aids that, like, doesn't want to stick on your skin, I feel like maybe it's going to be one of those Band-Aids that you're going to keep pressing down on, and maybe it's going to fall off. And I don't think this is over. And I know people say, oh, you're just trying to stir it up. Well, yeah, I am. That's my business. But I also think that in this case, given everything that's gone on the last 3 months, there's reason to pay attention to this because Aaron Rodgers ultimately is who he is. And if he's still pissed off about what's happening in Green Bay, if he's pissed off about the moves they're making or not making, if he's not happy with how he's being treated by the team, he will find a way to make sure we know about it, whether he makes some passive-aggressive comments standing in front of his locker or whether he and his camp leak it to whoever they choose to leak it to in order to get the message out. So I don't think this is over, but I do think we are one season away from it being over for Rodgers in Green Bay.
And that's probably fine with the Packers, Mike. I mean, look, they didn't lose either. Both sides probably didn't win, but neither side lost. I mean, he's playing football for the Packers in 2021. I think that is a win for the Packers, and it's also a win for Aaron Rodgers. He didn't want to retire. He's not ready to retire. He can't afford at this stage to take a year off. The fact is, this is bad news for the Bears in Chicago and everybody in the NFC North, but it's probably good news for people in Green Bay.
Well, it's definitely a win for the Packers because they ultimately gave up nothing that they weren't ultimately going to give other than taking away the 2023 season, which they probably by then would have moved on from Aaron Rodgers. Anyway, that's the fourth year of Jordan Love's contract, the guy they traded up to draft in 2020. But there is a net gain for the Bears and the Vikings and the Lions and the other teams that compete with the Packers in the NFC because Rodgers, even though he did his own personal workout program, he didn't show up for the offseason for the Packers. He skipped the mandatory minicamp, didn't get his receivers together to work out. So he's behind all the other guys he's competing against. Not that he can't close the gap quickly, but he's not where he would have been if he had been all in from the get-go like Tom Brady. And that's ultimately what it's going to come down to. Now, look, we've seen what we believe is going to be a predetermined NFC championship game get disrupted all the time. We've seen it in both conferences. But it feels like the Packers and the Buccaneers are the best two teams in the conference, and maybe they're on a collision course to get together again. And we'll see if Rodgers can beat Brady this time. And I will say this. If the Packers get to the Super Bowl, maybe there will be one more year for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I don't know. But I think it's going to take something like that where he just feels like he can't leave based upon the final outcome to this season.
Mike, this Deshaun Watson situation just seems completely beyond the limit here. And I get it. The NFL can't really create its policies until the season starts in terms of the commissioner's idea of putting someone on a restricted list. But don't they have to do something? How can you have a guy being the face of an organization, being in camp with all of these criminal charges filed out there against him or ready to be filed against him?
Well, they could put him on paid leave now if they want to, and they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want. The problem is they don't tell anybody what they're going to do until they do it. And that's why just the fact that Watson showed up for camp and the NFL didn't immediately say to him, please leave, you're on the commissioner exempt list, that doesn't mean it won't happen. We're one news cycle away from an interview or an additional criminal charge or an additional lawsuit that will be the tipping point that would cause the NFL to say right away, you're on paid leave. And meanwhile, the Texans are out there telling reporters they want 3 first-round picks plus for Deshaun Watson.
No one's given him that. I had an executive with another team say to me yesterday, why is everyone acting like it's still January? Back in January, if they had done these negotiations, yeah, you get three first-round picks. Once the first lawsuit's filed, things start to change. Once the 22nd lawsuit is filed, everything has changed. And yesterday, when Watson's own lawyer, Rusty Harden, is out there saying, oh, yeah, there's 10 criminal complaints, including two from women who haven't sued him, like, what the hell is he doing? And I think the objective at this point is to get Deshaun Watson traded without the Texans trying to put their thumb on the scale because of all these unknowns that are out there. And really, anyone who would trade for him now is trading for him knowing that there's a chance his career in the short term gets derailed, but we're getting this guy for the next 15 years, so we're willing to deal with it.
Mike, though, you do such a good job of cutting through the crap. There's no team out there that's going to do that, is there? Regardless of these leaks and reports, what team in their right mind is going to give up three draft picks and two players for a definite maybe in Deshaun Watson that he's going to be able to play after this year? I don't know what team in their right mind would do that.
No one. You're right. No one. That's why they want to drive the price down. I think there's a point at which the Eagles – I think the Eagles are the team to watch because I think the Eagles could justify this as, hey, you know what, we'll give up a 2022 first-round pick for a guy who may not be playing again until 2023 because once he's playing, he's ours, and we have him for the next decade, and we've got another Donovan McNabb who we know is going to be our franchise quarterback year in and year out, and we can quit this careening around inside of the pinball machine trying to find our next quarterback. They thought they had one in Nick Foles. Then they thought they had one in Carson Wentz, and now they're giving Jalen Hurts this test run, and most people believe he's not going to be a true franchise quarterback. So I can see the Eagles do it at the right price. And remember, they were the team that gave an open welcome to Mike Vick after he got out of prison. So they're not concerned about the PR hit. They know they're going to take one, but they're not going to give up three first-round picks and more for Deshaun Watson at this point. If the deal is going to be done now with all these clouds hanging over Deshaun Watson, that has to be factored into the price.
Mike, as we enter the season, the start of training camp, is there any coach in the league under more pressure than Josh McDaniels? And I ask that because when you look at it, whether it's Cam Newton or Mac Jones or whoever is the quarterback, you would think that if this guy is indeed the heir apparent, he better show it with that offense at some point.
Well, first of all, I don't think he's the heir apparent in New England, and I'm not quite sure who the heir apparent is. I think Matt Patricia's probably at this point got a better chance of succeeding Bill Belichick than Josh McDaniels. But, hey, week four, Sunday night, Tom Brady coming back to town. I was just on with WEEI in Boston. The first three games of the regular season, to me, are an extension of the preseason as they try to figure out who the right guy is to get on the field that Sunday night and outscore Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And yeah, it's on McDaniels. And think about all the issues that the Patriots are dealing with, trying to figure out who's the best guy, which guy gives the best chance to win. You had 20 years of knowing that Tom Brady's your guy, and you could worry about all the other positions on the team. Now, for the first time in two decades, they really have a tough call to make between Newton and Jones, and they have an obligation to try to get both guys ready. And this is very different from what the Patriots had to experience during the Tom Brady era.
Great stuff, Mike.
Absolutely, Mike. Always a joy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks a lot. Busy day.
Yep.
What's going on?
And don't forget the book. Mike has a book that you can pre-order on Amazon. It's going to print now called Playmakers, How the NFL Really Works, and in parentheses, and doesn't. You can get to Amazon and pre-order that. We're going to bring in Dan and Layla next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.